All right. Hey, hey, guys. How are you? Hey, hey.
Wow. Oh, no. Wow.
That was really
close. Went from Fat Albert to a piece of mucus. I hate you.
Well, he does that.
I can't remember the last time I was so annoyed by an anime character before just Treble just spoke on screen, honestly. It is so obnoxious.
Who? Skeletor?
No, Excalibur from Soul Eater. He didn't do that first.
I kind of fucked Excalibur.
Your first annoying anime character.
Nah, I fucked Excalibur. He was cool. He had an English.
Right?
He didn't have an English accent, but he was just Excalibur.
Excalibur.
Yeah, he spoke like Tony Soprano or whatever. That guy's cool.
Bro, this is a bit that I completely forgot about. I think
you
could rewatch that show.
About Excalibur? How could you?
Well, it's been like 10 years.
This rings zero bells.
Oh, it wasn't like we jogged your memory. You just have no zero.
This is a certified Zorro moment. It is completely purged from my memory.
No.
That's crazy.
He's like the best part.
Shit, man. It has been a long time. Am I a weeb anymore? I don't think I'm a weeb anymore, guys. I'm relinquishing my weeb card.
Give me your weeb card. God, give it up.
That's fine.
You're a fucking adult.
That's fine.
Disgust me.
Excalibur.
It sounds like a good bit. I kind of want to go back just to relive some of the glory.
Yo, Soul Eater cast? What?
I'm not opposed. Maybe. Mm-hmm. I do. Mm-hmm. I do remember liking Soul Eater. That was pretty good.
That shit was
the
OGs
and
80s. I remember having a good time.
Banger.
I just remember the young Death would always shoot the pistols with the pinky. Or that guy. Yeah, Death the Kid. He would always shoot pistols with his pinkies.
That guy was the coolest motherfucker in my middle school years. Fucking shooting pistols with pinkies. Awesome.
Symmetry.
Wasn't he supposed to be emphasized like the guy who thinks he's cool but is also like secretly a dweeb because his guns constantly give him
whole
shit.
His stick was symmetry, and the irony of it is that he is not symmetrical, and if it was unsymmetrical, it would drive him nuts.
Well, I mean, I'm sure that was also
a Black Star who's like the loudmouth blue-haired kid who's like, I'm the best at everything and I'm a ninja. I'm going to announce my attack before I attack.
I do remember him. I do remember that guy. Yeah, that guy.
Black Star.
Anyway, we're not doing the Soul Eater kid. Back to One Piece.
It's going to be a long night.
Hey, hey, hey.
It's kind of scary how good you do that.
Yeah. Dude. Yeah. Dude, I got a mean treble. That's all I'm saying. I've waited a long time to get to this point in the series for me
Please
to
keep
unveil
waiting,
my secret talent. I've always had a mean treble in the back pocket, dude.
God, I just hear him in the back of my skull now. I don't like it.
Hey, nah, nah.
That's what he does with the dub. Instead of doing the nyeh, nyeh, he goes like, hey, hey. He's like, hey, hey, hey.
Well, I think that's just
so much worse.
That's fair. Either way,
English Treble was worse. Oh my god!
he actually did a great job. He does a great treble. Actually, like
yeah, that's the problem.
You could, if you listen to the English treble, you're like, did they just literally bring the Japanese motherfucker and have him say it in English? What the fuck? He does
that's
like
you right now.
Really good one to one. But I'm getting distracted. Here, let me do a different one.
Pika 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 la 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 la. Pika.
No, you got it's three Pikas, and
Pika,
then he just
Pika,
like
Pika.
But he doesn't even laugh. He just kind of goes like just like he like mumbles. What a dumb fucking laugh.
Sounds like he's choking on his food.
He sounds like he goes Pika 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 and starts like just choking on his tongue.
I think I could get it if I tried hard enough. If I had,
oh,
if I,
oh you, yo, you
I
absolutely.
I don't know if I want to hear you swallow your own tongue on cast, man.
Oh man, dude, what a fucking! I love the laughing ticks in this arc. We haven't spent enough time on it. It's some of my favorite parts.
They are relatively good.
Oh shit!
Like I. It's still not a cha-pa-pa, but like
it ain't no cha-pa-pa. It ain't not no cha-pa-pa, but
yeah, yeah. I'm not a big
fan. I'm gonna read
Picos,
our summary
though.
Now.
Oh yeah, do that.
Yeah,
maybe I wanted to read it.
Well, he has
well,
to.
It's better
it
if
way.
I do it because there's a question for you at the end of it.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. I forgot about that part.
All right. This week on One Piece, we had a lot of fighting and not much exposition. Our attention is focused primarily on Sai as he confronts Baby Five, and later Lao Ji and his grandfather, as well as the scenes between Dofi Law and Luffy Bellamy. That's all the summary you're getting this week. And if you're wondering why I haven't written anything else down, well, that's because I don't know what else to write down. Besides, you know, giving you a play-by-play for each fight scene, and no one wants that. Anyway, Brendan, Devin, please tell us about your thoughts on the Corazon flashback, because we somehow glossed over those when you were here last night.
Man, you know, I mean, it wasn't even that good of a flashback. So, I mean, like, what are we really missing, I guess, you know?
What? Huh?
Oh, wow. I really thought that we were going to have at least a little bit more nonsense on that one, but fair enough. Never mind.
Oh, no, no. I'm having an internal struggle of whether or not I want to fight you right now, or I just got to let it go and just move on to Devin. I don't know.
I'm just having an aneurysm that's your only take on it. I was expecting more.
It was a joke. It was a joke. That's the whole point. I wanted to instill outrage, and none of you did it. I'm
partially
the one being outraged.
I'm internally outraged. I haven't let it out yet.
I'm so outraged that I'm confused. Mm-hmm. And I don't know what to do with my hands except for make fists.
Oh, you're... Wow, wait. Devin's genuinely outraged. He's not confused. He's just... He's upset. Devin, why are you upset? Did you like...
Him.
This flashback?
I did.
I actually didn't realize this.
Yeah,
oh, well. Wow.
Like
say more words. Say more words.
What?
Yeah, Devin, please say more words. Yeah, what did you like about it? And I swear to fucking God, if you say the rat, I'm just going to take your mic away.
Wait. Rat. Please tell me you, sir. Did you listen to that episode yet?
Yeah, I did listen to that episode. Yeah.
I was going
to
say, if you just call that without even knowing, that's amazing.
No, of course I listened to that episode. I gotta try to stay this is my problem. This is why I didn't spend any time last week doing, because I didn't know what else I could bring to the table that you guys haven't already talked about. Unfortunately, I missed like arguably some of the most banger fucking episodes in this entire fucking arc, which I'm like devastated by. And I didn't want to like, you know, waste too much time putting a bunch of thoughts on the table that you guys have probably already talked about. I have like one critical idea that you guys have yet to bring up, at least in the episodes that I already have listened to in the flashback that you've covered. So that might be the one thing I bring when Devin relinquishes the rest of his time. But beyond that, I don't know.
Relinquishes the rest of his time as you speak. What do you mean?
We're like on the time clock, and I'm like sitting there. My button's already been pressed, but you kept going, and I'm like, when do I begin?
Go ahead, right now. What are you talking about? That's how you have a conversation. Go.
Stop rushing me. There's so much pressure. I don't even know where to begin, because I'm trying to remember exactly where, because like I remember like what we talked about the, you know, like the rat episode, right? But I don't remember exactly what specifically to talk about.
Let me
fill
you in.
Rat, because that was a big pivotal moment for me.
Yes, clearly.
Right. Yeah, that was a very important time for you.
I'm telling you, he's coming back.
That rat is coming back for sure. Yeah, that's
can't confirm.
That's actually when he grows up, he's going to become Remy.
He's gonna look like a fucking like a JoJo stand when he comes back, like ripped beyond all means, and just like I am gonna be the One Piece or something.
All right.
Know.
So Justin, remind us what happened after the episode with the rat. Please,
the rat,
for Devin's sake,
focus in on Corazon and Law. Corazon, excuse me, decides to basically kidnap Law from the crew to go on a hunt for a cure for Law's Amber Lynch syndrome. They start visiting hospital after hospital. Even Law's just like, bro, like, please don't. Like, it's not going to work. And it doesn't because no one has information or knowledge in how to treat the disease, because everyone who caught it basically died in that one night outside of Law. So there's, you know, no medical progress there on that front. And then also he's still stigmatized by society. So after going through about like 8 different hospitals and blowing them up, Corazon's like, okay, well, I don't know what to do. I'm going to keep searching, though. We flash forward to, he gets a call from Dofi. He's like, hey, you've been gone for 6 months. Time to come back. But also, I found out they uncover a secret broker deal between the Navy and the DS Barrel Pirates or whatever, DS X-Ray's father. So Corazon hears about that, confirms with Sengoku, and he's like, cool. I'm going to return to my brother in 3 days and we're going to do this, this, and that, blah, blah, blah. Scratch all those plans. Corazon is going to plan on taking the fruit for himself, giving it to Law, and then somehow that fruit is going to cure Law, allegedly. That's what everyone's thinking, even though no one's cared to explain it in any capacity. So Corazon finds out where this deal is going down. It's on some random island, and he manages to break into this hideout that DS Barrels is hiding out in. And we get, as Christian and me went over, one of the coolest fucking action scenes or stealth mission we've ever seen in our fucking lives. Because
the
you have all, you know,
silent. The fact exactly. It was like utterly silent besides like everyone else.
Mm-hmm,
oh
mm-hmm.
My
that
God.
Was sound
that
design.
Was awesome.
Mwah, beautiful.
The sound design of nothing.
It's exactly. So funny when we talk. Okay. Sound direction might be a little bit better choice of words here. Because sound design.
It's like,
design
hey,
is there's
I
nothing.
The mute button. Perfect. Bravo. Innovator.
The sound direction
oh my God.
Was a great idea. Yes, yes, yes. It made perfect sense. And it did make for a very compelling and fun action sequence for the actually, okay, so I do have one question before you finish reminding Devin of the flashback. Did you and Christian, did all three of you, do you guys like his devil fruit, or did you guys like immediately write it off as like, that's fucking dumb?
I thought it was cool from the beginning, to be fair. I thought devil fruit is like, the implications of it were cool because like sure, it's not like powerful in terms of like, you know, like some of the weird shit that we have seen. Like it doesn't have a actual direct like implicate use, but how he used it and like how he demonstrated its strengths. Oh my God.
I totally agree.
Like sold it. Like, yeah, this makes sense for why this is a really good fucking power. Sure, he's not going to be able to blow up a building with like his power alone, but he could, it's up to the creative use of it.
Yeah. All right. Go ahead, Justin. Finish your thoughts.
I can't speak for Christian. I don't know if I made any comment about it publicly, but the power is cool. I don't feel like as strong as Devin does, I think, but it's cool. I don't hate it, obviously.
What do you mean? It's literally like the OP ability from like every Bethesda game of Control, which is, oh, you're staring right at me. I hit Control and I crouch. I am invisible now.
I'm gonna tell you, Devin. I told Justin to finish his thought, but if we're gonna stay on the topic, when I was introduced to this devil fruit, I genuinely thought this has to be the most useless fucking devil fruit of all time. The first time I saw this dude's devil fruit, I thought for sure this was it. We found the bottom of the barrel. This was going to have zero utility, and somehow, you know what? I the stealth mission. It did bring me around. I became a believer.
Archers are OP and everyone always becomes one. I'm just saying.
You're not wrong. You're not wrong. But even like in an arc, we were introduced to the jacket fruit. I was like, bruh,
that's crazy.
This is stupid.
To be fair, the jacket fruit is still at the bottom of the barrel.
Well, no, but what I'm suggesting is that for a split period of time when I was first watching this series, I'm like, I think this is worse than jacket. And I think now I tell past Brendan he is a dirty fool.
Yeah.
See, I had faith from the beginning. I was like, that's interesting and cool at the same time. Like, the idea of it is cool. But yeah, I think
the only really thought
happened afterwards.
The only thought I really had about it was I genuinely thought the devil fruit made him a mute, and then he reveals that he can talk the entire time. I was like, oh, well, I was fucking wrong. I thought that would be a funny bit of like, yeah, this devil fruit took my voice away.
It would have been an interesting tick, but you realize that as he's telling Law about his devil fruit, he's talking. Like these things are like,
well,
one
yeah,
of the same.
What, well,
we didn't
like
know
went
he
out,
had...
like, that's when it broke. But I was like, oh, my assumption was wrong.
But what do you mean? But you never, how could you have assumed he had a devil fruit to begin with? Because we had no idea he had a devil fruit. The moment we learned he had a devil fruit, he had already talked.
Okay. I see what happened now as you're asking this question. So yes. I had present day Justin Brain conflicting with past Justin Brain.
Okay. Here
where past
we go.
Justin knew he had a devil fruit, right? Because I've seen this before, allegedly.
Right.
But present me forgot that he could
how
actually
the mute
talk.
Part played in. Yeah. Got it. Yeah. Okay. Well, that makes more sense. I just needed that for my own clarity. I'm so sorry. Anyway.
So for anyone out there listening to me,
how do we get the end of this?
Let me say something. For anyone who's listening to me right now, this is how I watch One Piece. This is how I operate on this cast. I have past Justin Brain informing me with whatever memories he can store, and then there's present me who can't like remember half of that shit. And this is what happens. You get, hey, Justin, like, knows something. And then you sit there and you ask, does he really know anything?
Was that like Cat from Adventure Time? It was like, I have a knowledge of many things.
Exactly.
That's the one.
That is me, Chuchi.
Yeah.
Oh, is your name Fred? He's so close.
I never saw that, but I know that bit, and I do like that bit. Okay. That's a good bit.
Stealth mission happens. Corazon does a really good job until he doesn't. Still manages to walk away from the fight. Force feeds Law the OPOP fruit. He's kind of bleeding out. Tells Law to go find the Navy so they can take him away. Unfortunately, Law runs into Corazon.
Varigo.
Yeah, that was big fat.
Varigo. That's a...
As soon as I saw it, I was like, what are the chances? Oh, no.
What are the chances?
Actually, it's like he's afraid of a group of Marines, but this one Marine, this one guy, this guy's safe. This guy's cool. And then he wasn't cool. You know, the whole Varigo thing
happened.
He was
not cool. He was no bueno.
No bueno. Doflamingo shows up, confronts. First, he opens up Birdcage, though. Everyone's kind of fucked on that. And so Corazon's like, all right, I need to somehow save this kid. And also, you know, that's it. He's just here to save the kid. So he figures out how to just... This was so dumb. This is so fucking dumb, but somehow so genius on Corazon's part. He puts Law in a treasure chest because pirates can't... They have a compulsion.
The logic behind it.
the compulsion to just see a chest and take it with
you. This looks like treasure I must take. But I'm not going to look inside.
Blew my fucking mind. So Corazon dies or gets shot by Doflamingo. Doflamingo's crew takes the chest with Law, and Law's being silenced by Corazon's devil fruit, so you can't hear him cry and shit. They eventually make the coastline. They see Suru's ship ready to attack. Law crawls out. We see this scene of Law crying as long as he can because Corazon's trying to live as long as he can to let Law escape. And then when he finally dies, Law's cries are shrouded by incoming missile fire. And it was really sad. RIP Corazon, best big brother I've ever met in my life. Yeah.
Best big brother of all time, for sure.
Best big little brother, technically.
Mm-hmm. Best middle child.
Well, he was the run.
He was the youngest. No, he was still the youngest. He was not a middle child.
Unless Dofi, but older than Law. So by extension,
but Law is not.
Are we bringing Law into their family now?
Listen, you guys started with the whole age thing of he's bigger, but he's like not the oldest bigger. You guys did this, right? Don't be mad at me.
What? we were talking about with relation to Doflamingo though,
and I was talking about something else. Anyway. Devin, that's a flashback. Do you have any more thoughts?
The only thing that irked me about the ending of the flashback is that they don't elaborate on how he gets rid of his lead poisoning.
It's going to come eventually. I hope. I pray.
I agree with that to some extent. I think that. Like that was kind of one of the.
It served its purpose, like, you know, showing like the narrative of like the hatred. I just wanted the resolution of like, why is this boy not pasty white anymore? They never clarified.
Right.
I have a feeling it's going to come later, maybe. I don't know.
I do want to point out and make sure we're all aware that this fruit is not just like a magical cure-all. It just gives the user the ability to have like unlimited availability in terms of like operation opportunity. Yeah. So it's like basically what we learned here is that hopefully, clearly very short time after Law gets away here, because he was like literally fucking dying that day, practically. He gets just enough like know-how or idea to fucking start fixing himself, at least like maybe like trivially, like in small ways here and there before you can finally cure like the whole thing. But either way, Law cures himself, I guess. But I do agree that without like having a believable timeline, that is a bit of a, that's one of those tough sells where it's just kind of like the author is going like, and yeah, he figured out how to fix himself and we're moving on from that, and like everyone else is like, but wait, how?
that's what I mean. It's like, but wait, what, how? Like,
how are you still alive? Tell me
what. I just a little bit of something. Just give me something. Like, it could be stupid.
Give me like one more dial in there. All right. I do want to know, and I'm sure you guys did, but did you guys figure out or notice that when Diaz Barrels is the one with the fruit, that was ex-Drake's dad, right?
So Christian figured it out like off rip when he saw the episodes. I had suspicion, but I had to like confirm with the wig, like, is that who I think?
So wait, is the boy that made it into the ship that the Marines captured Drake?
Yeah, that's
Drake.
Because I was about to just now ask that question, like, oh my god, like, wouldn't it be cool to see, like, what happened to him? Now he's gonna be so fucking powerful. Now I know it's Drake. I'm kind of underwhelmed, but at the same time, it's like, oh, that's cool.
So they merged a couple of, and at one point, Diaz Barrels, because his name's Diaz Drake. Diaz Barrels is like talking about, hey, where's the fucking kid at? He always runs away. Like, he's like our best fighter and he always runs away. So it's kind of implied that even at this age, he had already eaten that devil fruit and he's like their muscle in the team. And he's just like, bro, I want to get the fuck away from these pirates.
Yeah.
Drake is just like, please, I don't want to be a weapon of mass murder anymore. Just get me out of here.
So just to clarify another thing, Drake, I thought Drake was a pirate.
He is currently
pirate. He was part of his dad's crew or is.
So, but, okay.
Like, I mean, he was a pirate. Current event times. Like, is he a pirate or is he a Marine? He didn't want to be a pirate and he's a pirate, but he's not a pirate.
In this backstory, when he is a child, we learn he wanted to escape being a pirate on his dad's crew by joining the Marines. That did happen.
Okay.
By the time we know him in present day, he at one point got up to the rank of Rear Admiral before he quit and became a pirate. That is the present day Drake that we now know today.
Following
his father's footsteps or following, I don't know. Well, we don't know all that.
He's
just know he was like,
to his roots.
No, they said it. They said that Barrels was a former Navy guy.
Okay. Well, okay. When you say following in his father's footsteps, you're putting a lot of like intent behind it. He just so happens to also have decided to become a pirate and his dad did the same thing. Apparently Barrels was also.
He's just like that.
All right. Well, yeah, maybe it's like an apple doesn't fall far from the tree scenario, but I don't think there's as much intent
it's more like an irony kind of thing, not an intent thing where it's
I'm trying to make a haha funny. You guys are taking me way too seriously right now.
Well, I just maybe I'm the bad
not
guy here.
In my mind,
it felt like you were suggesting that like
on Drake's behalf
I'm sorry. Maybe I took it too seriously. That's my fault. Excuse me.
You think he recognized he just looked himself in the mirror and he's like, oh my God, I'm bothered.
Maybe that's what happened. He's like, I'll never amount to anything. So it's like, I should say quit now and just become a pirate. That would be kind of sad, actually. Like, come on, Drake.
Or maybe he was like, man, the military's kind of fucked up. This shit's fucked.
I don't disagree with that either. I think there's a lot of things.
I'm gonna go do my own thing. And be a
but it is fun because I don't remember. I want to say yes, but I'm not gonna put a stake in the sand. I want to say we did know that Drake came from the North Blue, which is where Law came from. Obviously, like all this transpired in the North Blue. So this is like a fun little like gotcha moment where you're like, oh look, it's Law. It's Drake. They were all in the North Blue at some point together. But anyway, that was one interesting note that I had.
Let me ask a quick question. Devin wasn't here when I asked Christian last week. excuse me. So now that you can confirm for yourself that the kid on the boat was Diaz Drake. I think I asked Christian. I was like, hey, it's kind of funny how Law and DS Drake's paths like crossed, like not directly off, but their journeys were kind of intertwined or like were running parallel to each other in this very moment. And that feels like a standout or like a something to make note of within the story of One Piece. And so I want to ask you if you think that there's a potential for these two to cross paths again in some capacity, whether directly or indirectly.
Easily.
I mean, I think it's a pretty fair assumption to make that at some capacity, every single member of the quote unquote worst generation are going to collide in some way, shape or form by the end of the story, for sure. I mean, I know that they were kind of like Oda at like right before they got to Sabaody, his like editors were like, hey, we need new characters. And you just like made all these fuckers up. But I'm pretty certain there's a good reason to believe that most of them are going to have a decent chunk of narrative between now and the end of the story, so I don't think that's a hard bet to make.
Yeah, they're all gonna be part of it somehow, because you can't say they're all part of the worst generation and then just like, all right, and they're gone.
Never gonna talk about any of them again. Who cares? We hate them. We hate all of them, especially Urush. You know you did. Anyway,
I'm glad you said it, because I was thinking, I was like, man, looks at Urush.
Fuck you, piano man.
Yeah, the long arm guy. Anyway, speaking of long arm, we'll get to that guy later. But anyway, what was I going to say? The only note I have about Corazon that maybe you and Christian talked about it in excess, that because that's the only episode I haven't listened to when you guys talked about it. Something I really, really find fascinating and I love about the narrative choices that Oda used when depicting the relationship between Law and Corazon. It seemed very abrupt and very like out of nowhere for Corazon to just like start trying to help Law. And I find that when Corazon was starting to unpack the trauma that Law has gone through, where he's now having to relive this reality that he'll never fucking be saved, he's going to die, eventually Corazon is going, Rosinante is starting to not only like he's like forcing this kid to relive trauma, but I think one of the reasons why he keeps pushing so fucking hard on it is because he sees himself so much in Law, and that if he fails Law, he's really failing 8-year-old Rosinante, who had nowhere to turn after him and his family were fucking chased to the ends of the earth. His brother was a complete fucking dickhead. He had no family to his name, and he had nowhere left to turn. No one was at his back. And he feels like that abandoning Law right now is like abandoning little Rosinante. And I think that's what fascinates me the most about how their relationship unfolds, is that Rosinante isn't only doing it for Law. He's really trying to give himself forgiveness for all of the failures that he's had to live through in his own life, because no one was there for little Rosinante when he was that age.
See, at the same time, I'm going to take it a little bit deeper than that. I think it's because of also Doflamingo. Like,
oh,
in the
yeah,
sense
absolutely.
Of like he doesn't want to, like, he's now in control to a degree. He doesn't want Law to become like Doflamingo, which is why he went so far out of his way to take him away. Because think about it. What would have happened to Law if Corazon didn't take him away from Doflamingo?
Oh, he absolutely would have been everything that Doflamingo wanted him to be.
Exactly.
For sure.
So like it's like a little bit of a him's trying to save himself, and like, you know, because he sees himself in it, but he also sees a little bit of, I don't know, maybe Doflamingo, like what if I was able to stop Doflamingo from becoming the way he was? Because if I was the older one, kind of energy.
I just really like this idea that, especially like in the scene where he's crying over Law, and he's coming to terms with the fact that he realizes that after he got stabbed, like Law was obviously like in fucking pain that day. In his mind, he just can't help but relive the same loneliness and trauma, because he relates, he gets it, and he doesn't know it. At the time, maybe his only answer was to get back up to the Celestial Dragon Land and be brought back into the fold, because he was 8-year-old kid, and when that failed, he was like, all right, I guess I'm gonna go fucking join the military, because I don't know much in my life, but I know I can't trust this my older brother, he's fucking crazy. And now he's like, he sees this one fucking like reasonable goal that he can ascertain for Law, to save Law, and if he loses it, he's not only losing Law's trust and admiration, he's really failing himself and what he wants to stand for now, because I don't think he's completely like beating those demons, right? Like him and his, he still fucking hates Doflamingo to the point where he fakes being a mute just so he doesn't have to fucking talk to him. Clearly there's still like a lot of like animosity there that has not gone unraveled. He is not a completely unfaulted human, yet he still tries anyway, and he does everything he does so that he can give somebody the good ending that he never got. And I can respect that. I like that a lot about the way that their relationship unraveled.
I did not have this read that you had. I think what Devin brought up is more closer to the surface if you picked at it a little bit, but I definitely didn't see yours, but I see where you're coming from. It's interesting. Yeah, that's it. That's all I can really add.
Mm-hmm. So let's talk about this week's stuff.
So let's talk about this week now that we spent 45 minutes. No, 30 minutes. All right, that's not that bad. We've spent 30 minutes on Dumber.
That's actually not 5 minutes of nonsensical intro. So it's really like 25.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, that was actually pretty good. So hey, everyone want to listen to my Pika laugh again?
God, no, please stop. I have never felt more in line with Zoro than just being like, that's not a real laugh. Stop. Just stop. You're doing it for attention. Please stop. It's so bad. I'm convinced really Pika bad. Doesn't know how to be a person, bro. Like, whatever Pika's flashback is, it's part of something related to it is that Pika doesn't know how to be a real person. And he's piecing it together little by little by the existing on the crew. He's like figured out eating, figured out walking, talking, all the other stuff. He just hasn't figured out how to laugh. He's still learning that.
He's like, is this how I laugh, Dolphy? And then Dolphy's like, of course, Pika. That's a great laugh. And then everyone else in the background's like, oh my fucking God, really?
That's great. I need this to be real. I need my head to be real.
Yeah, Doflamingo, you know, even though he's like a manipulative motherfucker, he's kind of he's got his family's back. Well, you know,
does not
as long as they have his.
As long as, you know, as long as they're like on the list. If they're not on the list, then not
it's
really.
It's a pretty short list.
It is not the longest list. It's got about 10 names on it. 10 confident names every so
but
often.
But at
you're
the
like,
same time, it does, like, it's like Wikipedia where it's like you could, you know, add, you know, do like to add more. This list can be expanded or something like that. You know, like that for him, it doesn't exist. It's like there's only this many, and there's feel like expanding it.
There's the public list that has like 100 names on it. That Doflamingo's like, nah, it's only like 10. But that's our list. They don't get to see the real list. Like Bellamy's on the list of 100. He thinks he's hot shit. And
then Doflamingo's thinks he's like, one of us. He thinks he can stay with us. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Exactly. Doflamingo's like, baby five, you're like barely on the list, just so we're clear.
All right, that's a real crime. Surely Buffalo's on the bottom of that list, man.
I think Buffalo absolutely clears baby five.
What
for
do you
sure.
mean?
I mean, I think he does. No, listen, okay. Let's go right into this fight. Let's go right into this. So one of the episodes we got was the conclusion of Lao Ji versus Xin Zhao and Sai. Well, Sai was fighting Baby Five at first, and then we got the heart-wrenching reality that Baby Five has so little self-worth and self-respect that at the sheer whim of a stranger telling her that she ought to off herself, she proceeds to go, hey, as long as I can be useful, that sounds great to me.
Bro,
and Sai's literally like, okay, I didn't
that was
actually,
a joke.
Please,
that was a joke.
That was a bluff.
You're
that
supposed to say
bluff.
It back
please,
to
don't.
Me. Say it back, please.
Just say psych right now. Say psych right now.
We're not supposed to. No, we're supposed to fight. We're not supposed to. No, what are you doing with that gun? No.
At one point, so what happens between and also I'm gonna also be real. I don't love the writing with this scene, but I understand what it wanted to convey, and I will give it a minor pass. It's unfortunately veiled in like huge misogyny, which is something that I can't, you know, inherently get behind 100% of the time. But what we're trying to convey here is, she has always been this broken person who has only ever lived to serve others because she has never built any real self-worth for herself because she was fucking discarded as a child by I don't even like was what, she was like a fucking gremlin. Did you see that, mom?
Yeah,
did you
that
see
was the, a, yeah. That was a nightmare demon.
That was a sleep paralysis demon. Let get laying go of her, honestly.
I'm pretty sure Oda just asked the guy who draws Uzumaki to just like make a demon for him and
Junji Ito.
Yeah,
yeah.
Hey, you want a little side back character cameo? Go for it. Here's mom.
I've made you mom. He's like, you want to give her a name? And then Jujutsu is like, no, not my style. Mom.
This is mother.
You will only ever refer to her from now on as mother or
I don't
woman.
Know where Baby Five grew up, but wherever it was a barren waste. It looked like the bad part of Lion King. Like wherever Scar lived, that's where she lived.
The shadow area.
Yeah.
What about the mammoth graveyard? We must never go to the mammoth graveyard.
Exactly.
Oh man, dude. Oh, that's sad. That's sad. I hate that. But we get a brief backstory of her, and unfortunately, yes, heartbreakingly, there's a reason why she always does this gag where she just wants to be accepted by a man. The reality is that she just wants to be accepted by anybody because
I need to be
girl.
Useful because when I was useless, I was abandoned.
So, like, I actually didn't hate this at all. Like. I didn't see what you meant by the misogyny part. You'll have to elaborate a little bit more on that.
This part. Is the part.
But like as a whole, though, like everything that happened in that whole episode, I liked a lot of it. Like they expanded on Baby Five and like why she is like the way that she is.
Yes.
And like also, I ain't going to lie. I kind of like the Sai and her like ship in my head. Like, I like that.
Absolutely.
No, I'm here for nice. The Sai and Baby Five ship. Don't get me wrong. But this is the part. That becomes a little misogynistic. You ever notice that in the time that they spend on this bit, it is always her finding servitude to a man. They never do it the other way, or they never like, you know, play with the idea that she could be useful to a woman or
also,
something.
Well, so here's the thing is that I think it's also based on the aspect of like, you know, like when you look at like the flashback, for example, it's men approaching her typically,
right? But she was
women,
also discarded by her own mother.
No, I know. I get would, that. Like, I don't see how it's misogynistic when typically it would be a man approaching her.
I
like
was thinking
that.
More of the misogyny being placed or rooted in like Sai's character and dialogue because he's calling her a tramp, he's calling her this, he's calling her that. Sai just kind of like has a bravado about him that just screams 80s macho man lead character kind of stereotype for me.
Yeah.
And that's where I find a lot of it is rooted in. But I see your point.
Right. Like I see that part, but like the others, I'm not seeing it personally.
Think about
I
it think like this. We have Baby Five who has a people pleasing adjacent problem, who's dressed as a maid, which I didn't pick up until like right now.
And, yeah,
and
my
granted,
dude, what? Wait, what? You just picked up on that?
Listen, she was part like gun majority
my
of the
dude,
scenes, right?
It's right
leave
there.
Me alone.
It's been, it hasn't gone anywhere this
Listen,
whole time we've seen her.
If Christian's not going to notice all of the heart paraphernalia surrounding Law like a couple weeks ago, I got to pass on this. All right.
See, that's
Listen,
me though.
I'm going to let this one slide. Continue.
So you have. Baby Five, just as a maid, has a people-pleasing complex or whatever. Sure, it's mostly men approaching her, but, like, who drew the men? Who made up the men? It's Oda. Oda wrote a, like, you know, misogynistic plotline. I'm not going to burn him at the stake for it, but, like, you know, like, Brendan, we should call him out on it.
Right. This is where I'm at. I'm not going to burn my man at the stake, but I feel like this character trait would read a lot more if we played harder into a gender neutral form of people pleasing when the reality ends up being it's really only people pleasing men, which is like, fine. I get it. I understand that this is still like a series.
Just give me
that's
the one token woman
towards...
getting her in order and we'll let it slide.
Yeah. Like, again, I'm not gonna, like Justin said, I'm not burning Oda at the stake,
okay.
But this is like the one thing that puts like a minor sour taste in my mouth behind her character. Otherwise I love her character. I think she's actually a very well-written character flaw. And I love flawed characters.
Says the man
at first,
that thinks her ability is dumb in any other anime.
I mean, I think her... No. I don't think I ever said it was dumb. I said it's literally unbelievable.
Yes, he fucking did. You said in any other anime, this is useless. And I had to point it out that you were wrong.
Maybe I said that. That sounds like some ignorant shit I would say. That does sound like some dog shit, I would say.
That's why I wanted to bring it up to, like, throw it in your face. Like, yes, you fucking did. Yes, you did. I remember. I got loud at that point last week.
All right, well, present me says this is the most, like, mind-boggling, unrealistic devil fruit I could see in almost any other anime. Like, I can't imagine somebody just morphing their arm into a gun.
Okay,
all the
time. I do remember this take. You did say this, and then I
literally slapped you across the face with it, and of examples of where this is and how it's awesome.
And then while he was being mad, I thought back to that one random Danny Trejo movie. I think it was Machete. I just remember Michelle Rodriguez playing a biker girl with like a machine gun for a leg, and then I felt like that was enough.
Oh, that's a good movie. It's called Machete. Machete. I think she's called Machete, like, isn't
that?
It?
What do you say to that, huh?
I mean, I like Machete. Listen, there's also, like, you know, Terminator 2 with the dude who's made of, like, Terminator goo. He's, like, the best, like, counter to my argument in this. All I'm saying is, I think in other anime, this is a wild power. This is a weird fucking looking power.
I don't know.
Chainsaw Man. Chainsaws.
I haven't watched Chainsaw Man. I got no stake in that game. All right. I still, to be honest, I think Chainsaw Man, the fact that is, like, you know, the next generation's baby shonen, I'm like, what happened? What happened to the children? Anyway, moving on.
That shit's awesome. It's great. You take that back. I love that show.
He's not talking smack about it. Really concerned for the target audience. That's all.
I am quite concerned for the target audience.
I'm one of them.
Honestly, yeah, that throw up scene.
So we learn about Baby Five here, and I like Baby Five. This is how you draw fun, compelling, like, because the best, my favorite kinds of characters are the ones where their character flaws come off as gags until you realize that the reason why they have these flaws to begin with is because trauma. Those are my favorite characters.
So when are we going to get a Foxy flashback of his trauma?
Buddy.
Let me tell you, it's not so far away.
I'm writing Oda daily. I'm writing him daily. My number one fucking complaint. I'm just kidding.
But as a whole, though, this whole fight's like the way that whole episode as a whole, like the fight sequence and everything, like progressed. I loved every inch of it. Like, we got a little bit of the Don Chin Zhao versus Lao Ji, and then, like, it transitions so from fun. That fight to being like it all about Sai. And I just loved that they focused so much on that episode. Like, this is what I've been waiting for in this arc alone from since, like, the beginning of Run Piece.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. And, you know, even though it was kind of like shoehorned in, it wasn't like the most worthless, like, side, like, immediate side plot fight having Sai and Qin Zhao have beef with each other. I didn't hate the resolution at first when I was watching it. Like, the very first time I'm watching these episodes, I'm like, okay, really? Now we're gonna have this fucking side plot where he had a arranged marriage. This is how we're gonna bring these two together. But I also like the fact that what they ended up doing was they took Qin Zhao out of the fight by making Sai be the one that, you know, supersedes the old guard and then is the one that wins essentially both fights, I guess, quote unquote, wins.
My only problem with them focusing on these people is that, what, where's his fucking brother? Shouldn't he be involved?
Yeah, where did Boo go?
I think he got clapped several episodes ago. Yeah, he probably did.
Right. Yeah, like Dellinger clapped the fuck out of him. Right.
Yeah,
right.
Right. Yeah. I think him, Eggman, and I thought even Punchy Guy was down for the count for a while,
same,
too, before he came back
now.
In these episodes.
I know the Batman, long leg guy got oofed.
Long leg guy got like clotheslined by a heel. I think I remember that. Dellinger just like kicked him in the throat. Kind of brutal.
Long leg guy, Eggman, and yeah, his brother definitely got clapped several episodes ago.
Okay.
So there are still fighters on the field who can do stuff, right. You know, clearly, because Sai's here.
It's because, you know, it's been a hot minute since I watched that episode. I was like, where'd he go? What the fuck? And
that's
like,
the first episode. We all forgot.
Okay. Now I remember. I pulled a Justin, as Justin would say.
You know what? I would say that. I may not know what that means, Justin, but I would say would that. Say.
Right. Yeah, I may not know what that means,
but
I would say
since
that.
Devin brought it up, I got to talk about it because I actually really like this. The Don Chinjo versus Lao Ji stuff. It was very short, very brief, but it was so funny to me. When
it was pretty good, right? Like, it was great gags.
I loved the whole, like, they're just making old people jokes, and I was like, I feel personally attacked, like, by everything that they're saying. Because I deal with some of these.
I didn't write them down, but, like, all of the, like, attack shouts that Lao Ji makes are all fucking fire.
I gotta go through this. He's like, plot by plot. Okay.
Crippling back syndrome pulverizer or something
high
like
blood
that.
Pressure strike.
Blood pressure strike.
They're so fighting it out. Stupid. I think they have like a stalemate of some sort. All I know is that Lao Ji like breaks his back just for being old. So he gets into like a crab walk position with his G hands going out. He rolls up to Don Xinzhao. First, he just pokes him in the eye like a billion times. Then he just punches him in the shoulder. He's like, I'm going to throw out your shoulder, and then I'm going to throw out your back, and then I'm going to finish you off with like some high blood pressure palm strike. It was... It was like, in my mind, I'm like, this is truly 1,000 years of death. This is like every ailment that could ever hit you at old age is slamming you all at once. It's like when you turn 30 and your body just falls apart on your 30th birthday.
No, this is a different interpretation of 1,000 years of death. This is, you will face every pain and joint ache that a man who lives to 1,000 could possibly feel.
Or 30 years old.
Not too.
or 30 years old, I guess. That's fair.
I loved every moment of it. It was so funny. And then he finishes him off, and he has like a Power Ranger sequence where he just has the smoke going off the background. He's like, I vanquished the big baddie or whatever the episode.
Hold on, we're skipping over the best part of this whole fucking like scenario. When he fucking dies.
My man dies.
Oh no, like the bad guys are like, oh my god, who would have thought he would have had a peaceful death?
He's like, he died of natural causes. Isn't the way to die?
Natural, peaceful cause of death.
In the dub, they were like, wow, who would have thought that he'd have a natural death right now?
And then it feels like a Zoro moment, because Zoro should have died out on Thriller Bark, but he got lost and came back to his body. Lao Ji just couldn't hear good enough. So he's like, wait a minute, hold on, I didn't hear that. What'd you say? And they're like, oh, thank God he came back, Lao Ji. We were so worried.
Or the he's so mad that he's fuming, and he's like, what?
They
went
a whole
hard
bit
with all the old man bits.
It's so good.
And they swooshed them like that. There was no rim on that. That was just pure net, in my opinion. Like,
it's all net, baby.
No backboard, no rim, baby. Just net, and it was perfect.
That's great. I'm glad you had a good time, because I did too. I love this stupid shit with Lao Ji.
Like, like narratively, I get it. Like, he's defeated by Sai with an axe kick. Hella cool axe kick, by the way.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I need to ask you, how do you feel about Gamer Den 2.0?
I don't love it.
You don't love what?
I don't love Gamer Den 2.0.
Oh. you don't love his new Gamer Den?
No, mainly because of the significance of him undenting, right?
Right, yeah, it makes the undent like, feel less worthwhile.
Exactly, like my brain is like, oh, there goes his whole persona.
Well, like, right, but he's glad. He's like, man, like, I've been wanting to get rid of this fucking name for so long,
but
you
at
finally
the same
done
time,
it.
But at the same time, it's like, I'm trying to think of how to like say it. What is it actually made of? Like, the shit breaks so much. Like, what is in his skull? Like, it's at a 90 degree. Like, is he just going to become a pickaxe?
I mean, he even said,
now?
Okay, first of all, it's his head. All right, let's not get crazy. But he even said, like, he wasn't at 100% like the entire time he's been fighting again, even with his head back to normal. Like, thankfully, he's got his head back. But he was like, I am definitely old. I've been feeling my age. And thank fucking Christ, at least one of my sons could fucking take up this mantle. I lost hope, kid. Let me tell you, I lost hope. He's like, your heel has inherited the name Drill Dragon.
But back to what I was originally trying to talk about was after he kicks him into the ground and like you just see Lao Ji like slowly falling into the void. I'm like, surely that's not the end of Lao Ji, because he's still conscious. Like, he's not dead dead. But I have a feeling he might be dead dead now.
I mean,
I don't know.
Were you going to say something, Justin?
No, I'm good.
I would say, and I would encourage, in case you've gotten 700 and some odd episodes into the series and you haven't figured it out yet, when narrator Kuhn says that a fucker is lost, it usually does mean they do be losing, like they be lost.
Yeah, Lao Ji, he's not like what's his fate? He's not like a Kainu. He fell through the earth for good. He's not
okay.
he's not coming back. When narrator Kuhn comes in and has like some shit to say, it's rule of law.
Yeah.
So that follows up with my next question. Like, Dellinger got clapped, and I don't did narrator, because I don't remember now that I've been brought to the
attention.
Think
narrator Kuhn said that he got clapped yet. I don't think that happened yet.
Okay, because like, he looked like, because like I was like, we didn't get enough of him. I feel,
and I think, yeah, he turned rage mode at like the perfect wrong time. because fucking guess who's back, baby? Good old Hakuba.
Also, Hakuba, I like came the fact that play. We got the confirmation that he is of the fighting fish, you know, what was it,
yeah, he's a fish
bloodline.
He's a fighting fish type.
Yeah,
did we not get that last week, or
I think we were talking about it, but I think it like we were theorizing, but like now it's like confirmed, like It came from the man's mouth.
Like fair enough. Gotcha. Well, yeah. He's a crazy ass motherfucker too. Let me tell you. And how about that long arm dude that he fought? Bro, did you have that one on the bingo card?
I completely forgot this was a thing. And when I saw Hideo go Mr. Fantastic, because at first you just see him, they get that panel or the frame. Of he's a mile away from Dellinger, but like grabbing his shoulder, and I asked myself like, how he doing that? And then he just zips back up into past his like shoulder blade. I was like, what is going on? What a reveal!
What a reveal!
I'm confused as to what we're talking about.
The destruction cannon guy, Hideo, he's a long arm guy.
He's a long arm guy?
Oh, buddy. maybe it was happening too quickly and your brain couldn't process. Was there a moment you thought that Hideo had extremely long arms for no fucking reason?
Yeah, like he had the gum fruit like punch, and I was like, what the fuck is this about?
The reason is because, and Dillinger figures this out, you know how he has those really pointy shoulder blades?
Yeah,
he's just tucking in the extra joint up into his arm in that sleeve, and he's keeping his arms closer so that when he's reaching for Dellinger, he's fully extending his arm.
Oh,
yeah. So that really pointy shoulder of his is just like two forearms tucked together.
Yeah, it's like a second.
That's gross.
A little bit.
It's definitely a little body horror esque the way that they depicted it here for
this
sure.
This whole fight between them two is body horror, because then we get Dellinger removing his own teeth.
Yeah, Dellinger went full. Who did this first? What was this guy's name? The shark guy.
He definitely hit phase two. He turned on phase two of his boss meter.
Yeah,
for
he
sure.
went right. R long. That was crazy.
But Arlong did it like in a different way, where it was like it just chomped and then like removed his dentures. Dellinger is like, all right, I'm gonna pull the shark and physically move my teeth out. It's like the those nightmares you have when you have like your teeth start falling out in your dreams.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That's what it made me think of, and I was like, I hate it. But then they made it really big teeth, but then cut back to the kawaii chompy teeth. That was
I think he still has the chompers.
No. So what I meant by that is like the animation went from full blown body horror, super long teeth to he has a normal face, but he has the little chompy shark teeth.
When they came in, they were too long for his face or his mouth.
Yeah.
Died down.
Yeah. I gotcha.
Yeah. Either way, fucking disgusting. Second off.
Yeah.
Still love Dellinger, though. Still love him.
Dellinger's a cool guy. I do think Dellinger's a fun villain for sure.
I just want to know why he wears heels. I'm not saying it's bad. I love the heels. You know, Slay Queen. But
I know the answer. I just don't know if the answer gets revealed in the end. It's nothing.
You actually have an answer?
Yeah. I mean, it's nothing like Earthshatter.
Is there an actual reason, or is it like a personal like choice reason thing that like got revealed in an SBS or some shit?
I don't know if I know it's quote unquote public knowledge. I just don't know if it was said in like actual anime manga or like shoved off the SBS.
You know, sleep on that until Dellinger either gets more the screen time or. Yeah. Well, so, hold on to that, because I don't actually know where you're going with this, because I don't think I know why he wears heels. I'm going to be honest with you. Maybe that's just a bit that
it's,
I forgot.
It's definitely like, but not as like, if you think it's gonna be like a big reveal, it's not. It's just like proper.
Let's be careful. Let's just keep that on the DL for now. We'll save that. And then you know, we'll point and laugh at you later when it's not good enough to meet our standards. Anyway.
Mm-hmm. When the hype doesn't, you know, make up for it.
Yeah, I'm trying to dissolve any hype. I'm actively
Dude, but yeah, Dellinger got clapped by Hakuba, though. Maybe not permanently, but he definitely got the clap for sure.
And somehow Gladius made Hakuba it out alive, or seemingly so. My dude just—I think he ran off somehow. Hakuba missed him.
I think Hakuba or Gladius is just like, he's aware that Hakuba's now on the battlefield, and he probably like played defense with like his pop powers or something. Was like the impression that I got from what we were doing. Like when Dellinger showed up, Gladius was like, dude, fucking leave. There's like an extremely powerful dude on the battlefield right now. And then Dellinger's like, what do you mean? Like, we'll be fine. And then because Dellinger's cocky. Yeah. Classic anime swords. My guess is that at some point, Hakuba probably already tried to attack, you know, our favorite Gladius, but then he, you know, probably did some fucking like, I'm going to explode the ground near me and then you won't be able to touch me or something. And then like Hakuba's like, I have to be careful. Similarly, when he was looking, you know, piecing over at Bartolomeo and he's like, I want to cut you right now. And then Bart's like,
the Bart bits. Oh, my God. I love him so much.
Yeah.
Which one's your favorite one? The racket, good. The bulldozer, the hole in the wall.
All of it. All of it. Like the way he's using good. His ability is like the best. Like seeing the racquetball and you know, like, haha, you can't shoot her. And then like, you know, like how he's being attacked by Hakuba and he's like, haha, you can't get me. And like they both look up and he's like, shit. This is fantastic. Like there was only like one more part that I was hoping, like another bit, which I hope is still gonna be coming up, which is that Bart just like encases him in a cube of barrier.
Yeah, they just, he's like, we contain Hakuba because there's no other choice.
Exactly. Like I want that, but seeing Robin do something, you know, like do like the that bit too. Oh, and then just seeing Bart react to Robin, like have it, like it was like if Christian and I were shoved into the One Piece show and like we're just like the back panels of all the different Robins posing, like asking him to be her slave. Like I loved every instance of that.
I just, you know, this goes back to I hate that fucking Christian within like minutes of meeting Bart fucking immediately figured out that he was going to be super fan Bartolomeo, because now I knew this bit was going to play out and then him and Bartolomeo were going to be like, oh my God, same Bart, you and me both.
I Chris is going to be here. So I texted him a couple days ago when I was watching the scene. I was like, damn, Chris is going to be really jealous that, and I tell him what, but like Robin winking at Barto and him just falling into a puddle. I'm like, Christian would be mad. He's like, it should have been me.
It should have been me.
It's not fair.
Fucking Yugi meme.
Oh, but I was actually surprised. Even like just seeing like the dump truck motion of like being inspired to like just, all right, I turn into a tractor, a John Deere, and I start plowing the fields.
Like, yeah, that's like fucking Cavendish is like, Bart, can you fucking not? Like, I'm here too. He's like, no way can do, Cavendish. I can't stop now. And then Cavendish is like, well, why? He's like, because I've got fiery passion.
But he doesn't even call him Cavendish. Everyone calls him Cabbage. Even Cabbage, Robin calls him Cabbage.
Everyone do be calling him Cabbage, though.
Well, like the bit even before that, where he's like, "No, I don't think I'm going to stop you, save you from the bomb," and then like he does, and he's like, "All right, well, I'm not going to let you back in."
Hey, like, hey, I'll let you in once. I ain't doing it again.
I feel like they're going to be long-term partners, and I love it. Like, as in, like, you know, like pirate crew partners. Like, they're just going to be riding with each other from now on, because that is the
when
perfect
we finish
blend
the arc.
Have.
They're going to be tag pirate captains or whatever.
Exactly. Like an unstoppable violent force and an unstoppable breakable unbreakable wall. Like perfect balance.
I mean, I do like the idea. I do like that idea for that bit. That would be funny. Bart was a vibe these episodes, though.
He's just eternally a vibe.
When they both look up too, and they both realize that the top of the barrier is open, I also love that his immediate reaction isn't to like
seal
close
it, off,
it,
but to twist it.
Yeah, like twist it to make it like a
zipper. He's never squeezed
across
his
fucking barrier
so hard.
Like it's a bread bag.
That was funny. That was hilarious.
So like, part of me was wondering about his barrier. Like, how? Like, is he? Can he not make a like a sphere, like a fully enclosed barrier? Maybe is that the reason why?
Absolutely he can. He's just fucking stupid.
Yeah, he can. He doesn't pay attention, clearly.
Absolutely he can. Okay. He's a fucking moron.
Okay. But
I
also
this guy can
animation...
make a hamster ball if you want.
Hold on. There's also the fact of how I loved his animation of animating the barrier into like a flexing strong man, like being inspired. Oh my God. So perfect.
It do be pretty good. It'd be pretty good.
I need to see a hamster ball from Bart next. That's going to be the ultimate tech.
The ultimate move will become Bart hamster ball.
So side note. So I was, you know, I scroll on TikTok because I have nothing better to do at work. Uh-huh. I saw a video of someone cosplaying as Bart, but they were standing in front of a fountain pretending to piss in it.
Okay.
Granted, it was a lady, you know, cosplayer, but she's just like sitting there, like hands in front of her, like that. The classic animation just turns and looks at the camera. I was like, I love this. This is a great bit. I'm so happy that so many people love Bart just like I do.
Bart is he's a fan favorite for sure. I even have to concede that he is a fan favorite. I hate that power, man. It's always gonna be fucking, even when he's like helping Cavendish, he's like, I'm never gonna let you back in here.
That's what like, makes it so much so awesome. He has full control over it, where he's like, no, fuck you. I'm safe, you fuck you.
Brendan
him being a brat.
Stop. Going back to
no, him like being a brat plays much better into his fruit, because if he wasn't a brat, I kind of feel like this would be a broken power. Like this would a really this would be a really dumb power to fight against. But the fact that he's a brat and clumsy makes it so that it like that's the character flaw he needs to make me vibe. Never change, Bart. I fucking hate you, but I love you at the same time.
Oh man,
elementary school Brendan just can't stop being.
I'll
me the goblin go ahead. In the room going like neener neener neener. Like I fucking love this.
inside this cast, there are two wolves: ones who hate the neener and ones who embrace it.
Oh man!
But the other main skirmish is of course Kiros versus Diamante. They're still having they're having a time. They're not having a good time. They're not having a bad time. They're having a time.
It was interesting I feel like we're going to get more later on and it's going to be more fulfilling. But right now it's currently not fulfilling because it's just like, haha, look at me wiggling around and you being off balanced as you are already off balanced.
as you are a one leg man. I do like, I mean, I just like the Rebecca and Kiro storyline. So I'm always here for, you know, screen time between those two characters. I enjoy that we get the confirmation of the, you know, the dedication that Kiros now has to make sure that Rebecca never has to pick up a sword again, and how gut-wrenching it was for him as a father to have to not only allow his daughter to pick up a blade, but to have to train her just so that she could defend herself. And he's taking it real fucking personally now as a human again, being like, no, you don't understand. Absolutely zero sword from now on. She will never And okay, maybe that's also like a little
which
like you know, don't tell me
because she's already holding a sword still.
Yeah, like, well, no, I don't think she's holding it right now. To be fair, I don't
no,
think
she
she's holding one
it.
Right now.
There is a scene when he's like over her his shoulder. She is holding the sword. Like it's not.
He's
like,
ready.
Oh,
she's like,
fighting.
Father, let me help you. He's like, absolutely not. I have one job left in this world as a father. It's to make sure I protect you, so you never have to protect yourself ever.
I got
to
run back the tapes because I'm pretty sure after she picked the bugs and was like on key delivery service duty,
100% has a sword in her hands.
Yeah, she definitely has a sword.
I don't
100%
because
that's
right,
how
bad,
she defends herself a little bit from.
I thought she was just running
to defend herself, but Kiros is like, "Nah, you ain't gotta do that. I got." That.
Oh yeah, no, okay, that did happen at the very early stage. Yeah, okay, no, that did happen. Now I think about it. Mm-hmm. All right, well, then, you know, either way, like Kiros is just like either as long as she doesn't have to deflect, then he's doing his job, or at least to his own conviction, you know. Fucking,
I have a feeling my conviction is going to change soon, and they're going to team fight because he's going to inspire her to fight.
That might be true too. I also think that there's an argument to be made where you know Rebecca is, you know, she's a voice in this too. Like she can make some of her own decisions or whatever. It shouldn't just be, you know, when Kiro starts telling Rebecca, "No, you will not pick up a sword." That's going to be where I'm like, "All right, come on, guy. Like, if she wants to help, like, this is like also like her own decision to make." But
yeah,
in the time where
fully
like
autonomous person, let her fight.
Yeah, she's a grown ass adult too. Let them fight. But when we're in mode where Rebecca's like maybe a little disoriented and is not does not like the idea of having to face off against her mother's killer, you know, this is a good time. This is a good time for Kiros to finally be the parent that he's felt like he's been lacking over the last whatever fucking 10 years it's been. I think 10 years
something
I think
like
10
that.
Years
something like
I forget
that.
How long it's been. I've already forgotten how long it's been. Sorry, Kiros. many a moon. And then the only other big skirmish is of course the continuation between Bellamy and Luffy. All right, moving on.
Yeah,
this is like the only other thing we can sink our teeth in. Just a mod,
what is there to sink into? He just punches him, that's it, and then just
I think we can discuss
nothing happens, nothing progresses.
This is the problem that I now have with the conflict between Luffy and Bellamy. I'm on team conflict Luffy Bellamy. You lose me when you make it fluff to give us time to deal with the other skirmishes. That's when you lose me on Luffy versus Bellamy, which unfortunately that's what we got in this set of episodes. When you reinforce it without giving the character driven substance with good purpose, that's when I'm like, all right, now you're starting to lose me. All right, it's like it's Run Piece without the running.
Yeah, it's Run
Piece
with more flashbacks.
Are you not feeling either encapsulated or like just super against Bellamy, a sense of conviction here, whatever his principle is that he's saying he can't turn back on, which as I identify is, so he recognizes that Doflamingo is a bad guy and that like shouldn't follow him, but in his eyes, like, well, I've already done. And the way I understand it is that, like, okay, Doflamingo, bad guy. Sure, whatever. The only reason I'm upset about anything happening right now is because the guy I see
didn't give the answer that I wanted to hear is what he
said.
Literally.
He just wanted to be approved. He wanted acceptance and approval from Doflamingo. And when he didn't get that, he's like, okay, well, now I'm. But like, if he had accepted me, I would have been down for everything that's happening on this island and I wouldn't even have cared. So he has a really immature perspective on this, but he really just believes that, like, listen, man, like, I understand what I'm doing is dumb, but like, I came this far. I shouldn't like turn back on my initial goal just because of like this one thing, which is immature. Like, Luffy's trying to talk him out. I was like, listen, man, like, you were bamboozled. You can change as a person. I guess Bellamy just can't accept. He's like, nah, man, it's too late for me. I got to end it all.
I don't think it's immature. I think it's stubborn and illogical.
It feels like a child.
That's the whole point.
Understanding in my mind. That's how
I guess this is my only question. Do you feel like this is new content or interest? Sorry. Do you feel like this is a new revelation for Bellamy? Because I feel like I had him pegged on all of these fronts as of last week. Like we got this.
Yeah.
We're just being reinforced that, which I'm okay with.
I don't
but
even think
like,
it's reinforced. I think it's just being regurgitated.
I can also agree with that or that angle as well.
Like, it's not that it's reinforced. It's just that it's like we got the exact same flashback with slightly different dialogue. Like, they didn't cover anything new except for they added.
Well, I'm not even talking about the flashback. The flashback is fluff. If we're
I just meant as a whole. Like, it's kind of the same thing that happened last week. But again,
I sort of agree. I think there's a little bit there's nothing that we didn't gather from Bellamy. And his point of view in this set of episodes that we didn't already gather from last week's set of episodes. Is my argument. Now, I'm not saying I don't want to see more of Luffy versus Bellamy. I actually like their dynamic and I appreciate this plot element, but the purposes of this particular episode, or the scenes in these episodes, is really just to, like, you know, continue holding Luffy off until we can get to the main climax, which I get it. It's the formula, but, like, that's real. That's what's happening, right?
We're no longer diffed.
There's a time. Sorry, not a time. There is an opportunity to use them as, like, a meaningful character progression and, like, you know, side plot to accomplish the same thing. But when we're here right now and all we're doing is listening to Bellamy yell at Luffy about how he's not going to steer away from Doflamingo just because he was slighted, while bouncing off the walls for literally the last 5 minutes on screen, and there's, like, no change in scenery or point, then yeah, we're really just kind of like we're sort of stagnant right now, which, you know, I can get a little like, all right, come on, move on.
And that's essentially my whole thing. It's like, come on, move on. Like, this is, at least show me something different. Show me something more to it. Like,
yeah,
and the everything else, like all the other fights we've been watching. Like, give me something more progressing.
Exactly.
It's very stagnant.
I guess. But shit, did we talk about everything? I think we did it. Actually, so
there's one more thing I forgot to mention. I don't know if I want to save it for quotes because it is a quote.
Okay,
but
then you should save
me with next quotes.
It's more of an outrage than a quote, though. Like, I'm not impressed with the quote. I'm more confused and mad about it.
Okay, fine. Go ahead.
So Dellinger, during the Dellinger fight with whatever his name is.
Adeo.
He says specifically, if you had stayed dead, I would have spared your life. What the fuck does that mean?
Bro, that's a sub problem. In the dub, he just goes, if you had stayed down, then you probably could have lived. But now I'm going to fucking kill you.
It was because he, quote unquote, thought he was dead. I get that. But he's like, if you had stayed dead, I would have spared your life. Like, that's not how death works, Dellinger.
Listen, man, blame the guy making the subtitles, man.
You as a person are supposed to have enough brain cells and nuance to be like, well, he didn't mean it literally, he meant it metaphorically.
But still, it was just a sentence that I read that I went, this angers me. Like, no rationale. Like, this is the sentence hurts my brain. Like, I understand the meaning behind it, but I hate it.
Listen, it's better than people die when they are killed, right? Nothing.
Hey, people die when they are killed.
All right, moving on. Next week. Can I do this part yet? Next week. Next week is 7:13 to 7:15. Moving on to quotes. Quotes with a capital Q. I'm just kidding.
It doesn't work. Oh, so yeah, we forgot to elaborate on that because you were saying something about the capitals earlier and I didn't catch on to the bit. I thought it was just the fact that it was a G.
Oh, right. Off cast. We forgot. I was just saying that the bit in sub format didn't, like, I didn't get it. I was just like, okay, he just says G's. Like, he just says there's the G. But when I think it was like last week or maybe off cast, Brendan like said it in English of like, you know, the bitch just like, that's a loud G with a capital G. And I'm like, oh, the G being capitalized like matters here. And I like, when I was reading through the wiki earlier today, I didn't like super pay attention to it. But I know that like there's probably like a pun going on with capital G and J-I also mean Japanese or China. There's something going on there with wordplay and whatnot.
It's definitely a giant pun on like the word old or something like that, for sure. This isn't rocket science. When every time he says there's the G, I'm pretty sure like the saying G as a letter is probably also like a fucking kanji for the word old or some shit like that. I know there is some pun in Japanese related to it, but
is old man in
it's something like that. But either way, whether it's there's the G or dub G, I mean the bit is that he's just constantly pointing out the G's, man. And right. It's like
G's, like that's the bit. G's, G's
with a capital G.
Okay, because I thought it was something like specific. Okay, so it is a kanji play. Okay.
Well, I mean, it might be kanji. It might be, I don't know.
It could
about
be too many things. It just all that matters, though, is G.
It was just hearing it in English gave me like a eureka moment of like, oh, okay, this is partially why it's meant to be funny. Like, I didn't get it. I was just kind of laughing along as if I did. It was like, ha 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 ha. Yeah, yeah, that's funny, right, guys? Someone said to me. It's like, oh,
you just gotta, you gotta breathe the bit more. All right. You gotta, like, instead of like needing a reason for the pun to make sense, you just gotta, like, you gotta lean in.
Because, like, what I've been doing.
It wasn't
like,
that it made sense. It was just like, I didn't read the letter G in quotations on my subtitle as capital G, if that makes sense. I don't know if that's making like G.
I mean,
was
I feel like
G,
whether
capital.
I understand what you mean, but even if like whether we're emphasizing that it's capital or whether we're emphasizing and there's the G, like the emphasis is in the delivery, man. You'd be like, and right. There's the G. Like, either
I just think
way,
I wasn't,
just a
I wasn't
bit.
Getting it until I heard that was the problem.
See, I just love the fact that he's pointing out all the G's. Like that's the part that I loved. It was the bit as a whole.
He is a G. He do be a G.
And now he is G
in the
for
ground,
gone.
And there is the
Oh, I also love this. I can't believe that this was gonna be a quote. You know, we're in quotes anyway. This I cannot believe that this fucking pun works in both English and Japanese, or at least they made it work in the dub. When Lao G and Baby Five were quote unquote defeated by Psy, they go, Lao G fell. And then they go, Baby Five fell. And then they go, in love. And they changed the fucking word live.
Yeah, they changed the whole believe. Kanji. It in itself, that was good.
I cannot believe that joke plays in both fucking languages. We apparently have the same phrase for falling and falling in love. That's hilarious to me. So that is a huge W in my mind for localization everywhere. Yeah. But anyone else have any other quotes that they appreciated this episode?
I'll go
again, just the Bart line talking about how if Robin asked him to, you know, be her slave, he would do it. But he doesn't. How could he be so, you know, assumptuous to think that she would, you know, he's too far too beneath her to be allowed to get that, you know, like that permission, like that line alone. Like, I don't remember the word for word because I was too
obsessed.
Well,
at one point he was like, maybe I can even have her step on me. And he's like, okay, hold on, Barto, don't get too crazy. All right,
exactly.
You're still
like that whole line sequence. Chef's kiss.
That's what does it for you.
Following up this Barto line, he says, Robin Senpai, your eye gesture is something worth risking life for. When he, when she winks at her, I guess, I don't know what, probably a saving or something like that. He lost. And,
go ahead. So sorry.
This one from Baby Five, at the end of that episode, I'm not very competent, but please be patient. And honestly, saying,
honestly, I've never felt more seen in my entire life. I didn't write all of them down, but literally, I mean, we talked about them. Everything Lao G said in these episodes was fucking gold. Yeah. Literally, when they were doing the bits of him like dying, and then he comes back to life, and he's like, and they're all the goons in the back are like, he's gonna be so mad because Chin Zhao's not paying any fucking attention to him, and he's like,
I mean, I just lost the sauce. That's great.
I love that so
much. He was
much.
There when the sauce was made. He so lost it. He was born in it, molded by it.
So good. So that's all my quotes this week. Golden Ham. Who gets Golden Ham?
This is a hard one.
This one's tough. This
because,
one's a
like,
little
there's
tough.
There's three contenders, I feel. Right? So there's Lao G, obviously, because he's the G. There's Psy, because of just everything that happened. And then there's Bart.
I agree with 100% certainty that you have listed all three of my exact picks. And that is why. And I also agree. This is a hard decision.
I also forgot I was going to show you guys a fucking photo that I saved just because I thought it was too funny. And it's just of Lao G's butt.
Was it the frame where he sticks his butt in front of Don Chinjo?
Chinjo's just staring at his ass.
Bro, I thought he was gonna fart the entire time. I was waiting for it.
Hold on, where did I save it? Here it is. Wait, no.
Yeah, there was like that one really drawn out keyframe where Lao Ji's ass is like slowly inching closer
fucking
to like
right
Chin Zhao's
here.
Face. And Chin Zhao's looking at it too. He's just like, could be better.
Chin Zhao is so unimpressed by this guy's flat ass, apparently.
It's butthole inspection day, Lao G. Like, look at that.
I see it. I see it. No, that was a hell of a keyframe. if this was
the
our
entire
old version
time,
of what
I thought
do
he was going to let one loose in front of Qin Zhao's face. I was like, yo, that's so disrespectful. Don't do this to him. And then Qin Zhao just goes back to
if we still did, if we did our thumbnails like we used to, we would pick Lao Ji, and this would be the fucking thumbnail for sure.
If it's not, if Lao Ji wins and this is not it, I am rioting.
Well, we don't do that anymore. We let Jordy have fun and like find like weird like one off thumbnails and that are like relevant to the character now. Because well, I don't know, maybe
if I throw this in the folder, like he got confused last time, maybe he'll understand.
Nah, because then he's just gonna start typing our script again mid-cast and I'm gonna get pissed off. So
all the comedy gold,
but I mean I do like the comedy gold, but I also love Psy, man. I feel like he earned it.
Nah, he loses me to it's L plus ratio plus misogyny plus it should have been me, not him.
It should have been me. I almost want to give it to Cy Moore now.
All right, hold on. Remember, a vote for Cy is a vote for misogyny.
What the hell? You can't just say that. You're not the authority on that. The fuck out of here. I'm putting my foot down. I'm going Cy. I'm doing it.
I see you started with misogyny yet again.
What the fuck? What the hell?
Justin, who are you picking?
Oh, it's Lao
he said
G.
He
I'm
wants he wants Lao Ji.
Oh no.
I hey dude, go to pick Bart. We go to numbers. Make it fair.
Don't you
make
do
it
this?
A fair shot. Go to numbers. Do it. Do it.
I'm trying to think of who made me laugh the most and who did I enjoy the most of these episodes.
I'm surely just saying Bart's Lao out G. there. He's on the table. He's on the table.
Well, that's the thing. In my brain, it's like between like I love, you know, like I liked what Cy did in these episodes. He really does deserve it, but I am swayed strongly by Lao Ji and Bart, and I'm torn between Lao Ji and Bart. That's really where this fight is in my head. Like, do I want to go to numbers or do I want to give Lao Ji's ass the opportunity to be the thumbnail?
I'm the demon on your shoulder saying, go to numbers, do it. Do it.
Do it.
Do it.
Shit.
Come on. Come on. Get the people what they want.
And you know it's what? Me, I'm going to give the people what they deserve.
Oh, no.
Sigh.
Yeah!
I'm gonna go with Sigh.
Yeah! We did it! Let's go!
Life isn't real.
Sai really earned it. He fought hard. He got upgrade. He got recognized.
Plot progression and storytelling.
He moved the plot forward. It's the first time I'm choosing plot over memes.
It's the worst opportunity you could have chosen.
Wow, what a fucking day. Devin, thank you. You did. You gave the people what they deserve. Oh my god, I can't believe it.
You know it.
I never thought I'd see the day.
The Rat King has spoken.
The Rat King has spoken.
This is the second biggest atrocity to happen during Golden Hand history. First, us snubbing Fisher Tiger for 2 weeks in a row. Now this. This is awful worst.
Damn, dude. That's awesome.
The Golden Hammer has lost all credibility, my Shane.
What do you mean lost all credibility?
There's no difference in Emmys.
It was a stacked week. It was a stacked week.
Last week we were like, ah, shit, who do we give it to? This week it was like, oh no, there's too many to give it to.
Yeah, no, this was a genuine hard week. We had three solid contenders, and they were all batting like an 8 out of 10 average for sure.
I'm upset.
I'm sorry, right, Bart, well. I had to do it to you, but Cy, he worked hard. He grew.
Thank you, Devin. He did. He grew as a man, and now he's going to have a wife.
And now he's going to grow as a husband.
Better than numbers, but I'm not good. But anyway, moving on.
You just feel cheated.
I would have been cheated either way.
Now he wishes we went to numbers.
Yeah, except I would have lost there too, and then I would have felt extra cheated. I'm mad either way. Anyway, so fan mail this week. We got an email from our dear listener, Emerson Play, and he asked us a real quick question. Who's our favorite One Piece character?
Bart. Really? Bart is my favorite by far.
Like, Bart has stolen in the show.
Picture, before Bart was in the picture, it was, wow, why am I blanking on his name right
Crocodile.
Now?
Crocodile.
No, I was gonna say the bone guy. Why am I blanking on his name?
This Brooke, is bad. Question mark?
Brooke was great. I loved Crocodile, but Bart.
But Bart.
What a just look at him. He has the shit-eating grin energy that I embody in day-to-day life.
He's a character. He's a cool guy.
I can't believe Bart tops Crocodile.
Okay, but here's the thing. Bart as a personality is just Crocodile as a villain. Love that.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I get that. My favorite is still Usopp. Yeah. I've been in that camp for a long time and I'm staying there squarely, in fact.
It's still Zoro and Law for your boy. It's gonna stay that way until like a deep part in the future, and then I add like two more characters to that.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Solid shout out. My favorite warlord is Bartholomew Kuma.
No,
not Bart. Get out of here. No, get out of here.
Did someone say Bart is gonna be a new
No, it's not. Stop. My God. Stop. Bartholomew Kuma. He's a cool guy. I really like that dude. He's always been my favorite warlord. As soon as he got introduced, I was like, that's a fucking cool ass design. I like him.
He's my least favorite.
He's my favorite.
There are two parts inside of you.
Inside of you, there are paws.
The other is barriers and pissing.
Pissing on one's a bear, the other one's a rooster.
What's a bear? What's a rooster?
The chicken and the cow from the dolphin and the whale.
Oh shit.
Thank you, Mr. For email. Moving on, Patreon shout outs. We got Twigo, Taco, and Rin.
Twigo, Taco, Rin! Whoop, whoop. We love you!
I think Christian got your movies for the month, so we'll be working on soon. I think were a little late with last, but I think all of those are out. Frank.
Yeah, we got another one this Thursday. That'll be Tacos this Thursday.
Right. Well, moving on to the Garb Gab, but Christian isn't here, so we don't got a Garb Gab. So who's got a grab?
I always have a grab bag because I'm prepared and I like to believe in, you know, the way things should be done instead of the way things
I'm
you
not touching
fuckers
that
do.
You touch it, Justin. I only touch Garb Gabs now.
Typical old man stuck in his ways.
All right, well, I didn't do like a fun thing this week since you know, I never know if I need to bring the I always have it ready, but I don't put as much effort in it as like you used to because, you know, we switched to you guys do Garb
now, when you
now
say
or whatever. So
not as fun. Do you mean it's no longer dangerous or it's literally not fun? It's all
So anyway, you want to reach your hand in the bag or
sure. It doesn't hurt. Wow, kind of metallic wrapped around my made friendship kind of cool.
I did. Yeah. I grabbed some from the summer camp that I got back from the other week.
Pretty cool.
Yeah. They had a bunch of bracelet like a band that was like wrapped on the fence line on the outside. So I decided to take some of that down and I cut them into like little circles and there you go. Now you have a little friendship bracelet.
Wait,
did he just describe?
Why is that been? Yeah. Wait. What kind of camp did you go to?
Oh, did you? It's the summer camp that I went to. Remember when I went to the super mega?
He went to prison. He literally walked in and said, "I gave him a name."
Because that bracelet looks kind of pointy.
He snipped off the barb. So like, I mean, it's not comfortable. You know, a metal, straight up metal.
Yeah, dude. Anyway, why are you knocking my friendship bracelet? What the hell? Why do you hate
this
friendship?
Quote unquote friendship bracelet says rain check.
Ooh.
Question here is, if you were given the chance to spend a year living in a completely different culture, immersing yourself in their tradition and lifestyle, which culture would you choose and what aspects of it would be most excited to embrace?
I already have an answer to this question. It is a minor toss up. But I do lean slightly. So I'm gonna be straight and say I'm choosing a European country culture, mainly because even though it would be really neat and cool and probably a lot of fun to just be a plant in an Asian culture or maybe South American or African culture, I would prefer to be somewhere that I have like at least a rudimentary knowledge of the local language. And the reality is I just don't know any language that isn't Spanish or French. Like that's just it. I know like very select words in like a niche language, like from here and there. I definitely don't know enough to get around in Japan. I don't know enough to get around in Germany. I don't know enough to get around in, you know, any of the Nordics or something like that. So I would say it's a toss up between Spain and France, and I probably lean a little heavier towards Spain because I would really like to try living in Barcelona or something adjacent to that for like a month. I find that it has a very, very fun town sort of vibe. I think that the from what I hear, it's an extremely friendly place. If I don't like Barcelona, I can always go to Madrid. There's just a lot of really cool things, I think, in Spain that I would like to experience and be a part of. And I could probably make it far more successfully than I could in most other countries. So that would be my pick. I would love to live in Spain and just be dropped in Spain for a little while. Maybe it's the Dressrosa talking, because this is based in España after all.
You know, in a similar vein, I think a part of me will be like, oh yeah, I'd like to go to like Australia or Japan. Those are like quote unquote typical answers. But I was thinking about this earlier today, and I think my heart of heart answer is I want to be dropped in Portugal. Because I just feel so disconnected. And that's just kind of a byproduct for anyone who has a heritage linked to some other country that they've never visited. Just really don't stuff. I would like to grow up in Portugal. Like, I probably get by. There's enough English speakers. There are plenty of places band far. But they tend to be also like tighter. Because, you know, there's just language really pulls. And I kind of want to, like, I want to feel close to my family. All the cultural things that I can't appreciate because like there's a little language barrier. Okay, I can get it. Well, I'll never fully understand it. So, that's one to be dropped off.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Devon.
I'm going to throw a curveball at you guys.
Uh-huh.
Lothlorien. I want to live with the cult. It doesn't say a real life culture is the specific. It says completely different culture. Right. So I'm going to choose the elves from Lord of the Rings, and I'm going to go Lothlorien.
All right. You know, that's fine. I honestly, Devin, you saw the assignment and you found the chink in the armor. I respect that. You're the little shit in the class that was that. It's like, yeah, real funny. But, you know, I say you still get full marks.
Because think about it. The fucking tree, like Lothlorien, you know, where Legolas and them are from. Like, oh, my God, that place is so gorgeous and awesome. Like, what do they do on a day to day basis? What is their culture like? Like, what do you do there? I just want to. Get me in them woods.
I get it. No, I think that's great, actually. I appreciate that, Devin. You normally when you give me outrage, I'm like, I pretend to be a part of it. But I think I'm a part of this one. I'm just kidding. That's a good curveball. I can appreciate that.
Mm-hmm. You're welcome.
All right. Well, I think that's the end of the question. Did we do it?
The end of our show. So Devin, do the thing.
Follow us on Instagram and Twitter at Panda Sightings. You can send us questions at pandasightings@gmail.com. If you want to financially support us, we got the Redbubble and our Patreon. And if you want to join the community Discord, go for it. It's down those links below as well. So as I was saying, elves. I'm just saying.
All right. I'm not biting on that one. All right. I'm out of here. Later.
Like, can we talk about that Soul Eater cast we were pushing before? Like, I'm down for a Soul Eater.
Dude, I love me some Black Star.
Cool snot nose loudmouth, our sword girl thing.
Tsubaki.
Yeah, that's so much.
Did you guys actually press stop?